As the moderator mentioned, my name is Joe Balabas. I'm with the San Mateo County, well, we're called the health system now. And the reason why I have to throw that in there is because we are a traditional health department. We are the county health department of San Mateo, but recently we merged with our county medical center, so now we're referring ourselves as a county health system. And there I manage our language access programs, but I'd like to also acknowledge the other people who have contributed to this presentation. Doris Estramera actually put a lot of the groundwork into this program before I joined the department 2.5 years ago, and Dr. Scott Morrow, who's our county health officer, has also been very supportive of these efforts. Today I'm going to be talking to you a little bit about our experience as a county health department in terms of planning and implementing language access services and a formal language assistance program at San Mateo County, some of the challenges that we faced and some of the lessons that we learned along the way. I have no relationships to disclose. So I'm going to start by giving you a quick overview of San Mateo County, California, our demographics, and specifically the challenges that we face with regards to language. I'll talk about a healthy community summit that our county engaged in back in 2004, and a language access study that was sponsored by the county a little bit after that, and some of the key recommendations that came out of that study, which were really the impetus into developing a language assistance program at our county health department, and some of the challenges and lessons, of course, learned along the way in terms of establishing those services. So San Mateo County is located in the San Francisco Bay Area. We're bordered to the north by San Francisco City and County, and to the south by Santa Clara and Santa Cruz counties. Those areas that you see in purple are 22 cities and towns that make up the county, and these are the areas in which our population resides. We have a little bit over 712,000 people in the county, according to the 2008 American Community Survey, and we have over 42% of our population speaks a language other than English at home. So language and meeting the language needs of our county is a real tough challenge for us, but it's also a huge priority. So back in 2004, San Mateo County sponsored a Healthy Community Survey. Healthy Community Summit. We basically held a summit where we invited residents to come in and really identify some priorities in terms of health and health care. And in that summit, one of the priorities that the community actually came to us with was that language access to healthcare and health services was a huge priority for them. So we engaged in a language access study about a year and a half after that, and we asked the community to really come up with some key recommendations for the health department and for the county medical center. And they developed a list of about 10 key recommendations, but I'll only cover two of them here today. One was for the health department and for the healthcare organizations in San Mateo County to really create uniform policies and procedures regarding the provision of language-appropriate services to limited English proficient clients, or LEP clients. And the second was really to expand the availability and use of interpretation and translation services. So there are a number of federal and state guidelines and standards that were already in place at this time or were already in the works at this time. So it really benefited us, and it was really an opportunity for us to really think about, is it time for us to come up with our own institutional policies? And I think it was an opportunity and a real statement from the community that we really need to develop our own institutional policies. A few of the standards that were consistent at the time that we were referring to or were trying to take the lead from, federal standards in place. CLASS, I'm sure some of you may be familiar with CLASS, the Culturally and Linguistically Appropriate Services Standards out of the Office of Minority Health. In California State, there was some work already being done around Senate Bill 853, which really requires the provision of language assistance services by health plans to their limited English proficient enrollees. That bill passed in January, I believe, of 2009, but there was a lot of work being done before that bill was officially passed. So we really saw this as an opportunity for us to take a commitment into providing language assistance services to our clients. And so we developed two institutional policies at the San Mateo County Health Department at the time, but the health system now. The first was that clients have the right to free language assistance services, and that the county health system must notify our clients of this right. And the second policy around language access was that the use of family or friends as interpreters should absolutely be discouraged, and the use of minors as interpreters should be prohibited. And these policies we enacted in October of 2008. So with the adoption of these policies, or with these policies being put into place at our county health system, we had to really look at how we were going to address providing language assistance services to our clients and to our population. So the first step that we really needed to do was establish official interpretation and translation resources for our entire staff. So we entered into a number of contracts with vendors who provide in-person interpretation, document translation, and telephone interpretation. And the reason why we did that is that we don't have the capacity to provide these services internally. So it made the most sense to really contract that out to external vendors. The second thing we did is that we purchased a set of interpretation devices for use at meetings. One of the biggest issues that we faced as a health department was that we would have community meetings, group meetings, and there would be huge challenges with limited English proficient clients or community members coming in. So we saw this as being a very good resource and benefit for those meetings. I just want to make note that prior to the establishing of these services, it wasn't like we were not providing these services already. What we were doing at the time, though, is that each individual division kind of approached, and when I say division, I mean the different units within our health department. Our behavioral health division was providing things independently from our nursing department, from our communicable disease department. And so each of those units entered into their own contracts and entered into their own services with different interpretation agencies. So you're getting really variable levels of service, you're getting variable rates of service, and so we saw this as an opportunity to really streamline, centralize the program, and use one vendor to provide all in-person interpretation, use one vendor to provide all document translation services, so that there's one negotiated rate for the entire health department, and the quality of service would be consistent across all the different divisions. Does that make sense? So our second step was really to provide or to develop a centralized mechanism for staff to access these services and resources. We created a centralized phone number that's internal to our health department by which staff can actually call and access any of those services that I mentioned before. You can call one central number to get or schedule an in-person interpreter. You can call that same number to get document translation services arranged. And you can call that one number to get over-the-phone interpretation services provided. And we also developed a training tool, an internal employee website or an intranet site by which staff can access and get resources, copies of the policies, and access instructions on how to get these services. And I believe, I included a clip of that here. This is our site. I had to block out our phone number so nobody could just call and use our language assistance line. And the third thing we really needed to do was to outreach to our staff, to really train staff on how to use these new services. We scheduled presentations at staff meetings all throughout our entire health system, which took a very, very long amount of time because we had about 1,500 employees and multiple programs across multiple sites in the county. So we had to make a commitment to really going out and training our staff on how to use these services. We did that both before and after the program launch. And we also developed a set of reference guides or reference tools for our staff to use. They had to be very portable so that they could take that with them wherever they went. And for those members of our staff who actually conducted home visits or field visits, this was actually also a useful tool for them to take with them when they went out on site. And so our program officially launched in July of 2008. And if you notice the dates here, our policies actually were enacted after the launch of the program, but because we were putting these policies already in place and we knew these policies were going to be improved a couple months down the line, we wanted to have a system in place before that actually happened. So this is a copy of our quick reference guide that we actually developed and provide to our staff. I put this all on one slide just for the purposes of this presentation, but this is actually a 3.5 by 5 inch card, and each of these sections are basically one page of that 3.5 by 5 inch card. So it's about 4 pages long, and it's connected on the corner over there. So if you can imagine how that would look in terms of something being handy for you to put in your pocket or put in your briefcase and take with you to a meeting, this would be especially helpful for you. So really, what were the keys to successfully launching this program? We had a lot of support, not just from the community, but also from internal leadership. Obviously, the support and the pressure from the community was our impetus in creating an internal official program. But we also had a lot of support from our health department chief, from our county health officer, and so subsequently the managers for each of the individual divisions also came on board. And that went a long way into launching this program and eventually bringing it out to the rest of our staff. It doesn't hurt to have federal, state, and internal policies in place. I think definitely the passage of our two internal policies around language access went a long way for our staff to really value language access and to really take this seriously and to really learn how to access these services. Another important step in our program launch is that we had oversight from a manager level committee. We took managers from each of our individual divisions, brought them together and said, if we were going to launch this program, what are some key considerations that we need to account for, especially with your unique needs, or the unique needs of your staff? And so we had managers from our public health nursing program who would say, well, we need something that would work for our nurses who go out and do home visits. For our behavioral health managers, they said, we need to have something in place where we can request in-person interpreters to come in and do 1 hour or 2 hour clinical or group therapy sessions. So we had to take those different considerations into account when we launched this program, and having the oversight from those different managers from those different divisions actually went a long way too. Dedicated staff and dedicated funding from all of the divisions. As I mentioned before, what was in place was really a piecemeal effort that each individual division had. They each entered into their own contracts with interpreter agencies. So instead of having those individual contracts and those individual funding sources in place, what we basically did is we went to those managers and we said, why don't we all just contribute to one institutional contract or one big fund where we can all access the same resources, and it's all one contract, it's all managed by one person, who was me, so that you don't have to worry about it individually. And that's where the dedicated staff comes in to implement the program. Prior to this, each division handled it individually. It was 10% of one person's time, 25% of another person's time, and there really wasn't a cohesive effort to get all of these things put together. The health department decided to hire on one person, or to bring aboard one person who would manage this whole program, and that's what I was brought aboard to do. So thank you, San Mateo County. And so some of the challenges that we faced after the launch of the program, and I'm not going to go too much into this because I think I'm running out of time, but really these are just some of the challenges that we faced. How would we market the program? How would we bring it out to our staff? You know, finding time to do staff trainings every week or every month, doing some public education. We really ran into a lot of staff resistance, and this came into the programs who really weren't used to working with interpreters, or with staff, individual staff members who had bad experiences with interpreters from the past who weren't really trained. And so it was trying to get past that, those different levels of resistance was a real challenge for us. And of course, just like with any program, with any contract, there's gonna be some vendor issues that we had to struggle with along the way. And also keeping quality assurance of both the program, the quality of interpretation, and even staff interface with the system has to be a priority. But the underlying message with all of this is that time and resources needs to be built in to address these issues after the launch of a program. You can't just launch a program and say, fine, it's there in place, it'll take care of itself. You really have to dedicate time and resources into addressing these different issues as they come up. This is a sign that we developed to actually educate our clients and our public about their right to free interpretation services. We developed this sign that notifies them of that right and had it translated into 14 of our most common languages that we encounter in the county. Our county has identified five priority languages, our health system has identified five priority languages. These are languages that we serve regularly based on the volume of LEP clients that come into our health system. And those five languages are Spanish, Chinese, which includes Cantonese and Mandarin, Tagalog, Russian, and Tongan. And so those are the five first languages that you see on this sign here. And then the other languages are also commonly seen in our county, including American Sign Language. So really quickly, just some of the lessons learned from this whole experience. Really, it's critical to have the support and buy-in from all levels of the organization. It was great to have it start from the top, but eventually, as it started filtering down through the organization and having line staff also buy into it, was very critical. Having open and regular communication with all stakeholders involved, so this includes our staff, this includes our community, this includes the vendors, the interpreter agencies that we work with, to mitigate challenges along the way. Problems with interfacing the system, problems with billing, problems with quality of service, etc. So having regular and open lines of communication is very helpful for that. Evaluation of services should be planned. We definitely, along the way, decided that it was time to start doing some staff satisfaction surveys, some client satisfaction surveys in terms of how the services were working for them. And so we planned that out for every 6 months initially, and then we pushed that out to every year. So a commitment to ongoing evaluations, just so that you know what's working and what's not working, and you're able to change the program as you see fit. And really, the program must be flexible to changing situations. I think that's true of any public health program. A number of challenges that came up along the way with funding, with staffing, with you know, with vendors. So you really just have to be flexible to those kinds of situations and really don't see setbacks as being defeats of the program and low use in the very beginning as being a defeat of the program. So just be persistent and dedicated to the program and be flexible along the way. So thank you very much, and I'll be happy to answer any questions.